10. Archbishop's Palace, City of Telisburg, Kingdom of Carus.
Forgive me, Your Eminence.
Michael Stainer looked up from the latest stack of paperwork as Father Brian Usher opened his office door. Given the tumult and excitement of Queen Charlene's arrival this morning, the Archbishop had managed to get very little done this day, and some of the documents on his desk simply had to be dealt with as expeditiously as possible. It hadn't been easy to carve the necessary couple of hours out of his schedule to deal with them, and Father Brian knew that as well as Stainer did. On the other hand, the underpriest hadn't been chosen lightly as the Archbishop's personal secretary and aide. Stainer trusted his judgment implicitly, and in normal circumstances, Usher was as unflappable as any Archbishop might have asked. Yet there was something peculiar about his voice this afternoon, something very peculiar.
Yes, Brian?
I'm sorry to disturb you, Your Eminence. I know how busy you are, but there's someone here I believe you should see.
Someone?
Stainer's eyebrows rose quizzically.
Would it happen that this someone has a name, Brian?
Well, yes, Your Eminence. It's just that...
Usher paused most uncharacteristically, then shook his head.
I believe it might be better if I simply showed her in, if that's acceptable, Your Eminence.
Stainer's curiosity was well and truly piqued. He couldn't imagine what could have flustered Usher this way. From what his secretary had just said, the visitor in question was obviously female, and Stainer couldn't think of a single woman in Carus, with the possible exception of Queen Charlene, who could have engendered that reaction in him. But he'd known the young priest long enough to accept his request, even if it wasn't exactly the normal protocol for visiting the primate of all Carus.
Very well, Brian. Give me a moment or two to tidy this up.
He waved one hand at the report he'd been perusing,
and then show her in.
Yes, Your Eminence,
Usher murmured, and the door closed quietly as he withdrew. Stainer gazed thoughtfully at that door for several heartbeats, then shrugged, inserted a slip of paper to mark his place, and began jogging the sheets of the report into order. Whatever might have caused his secretary's almost flustered reaction, it hadn't affected Usher's sense of timing or his ability to estimate how long his archbishop needed. Stainer had exactly enough time to set the report aside, brush his desk into a semblance of neatness, and straighten himself alertly in his comfortable chair. Then the door opened, and Usher stepped back through it with a plainly dressed woman whose dark hair was lightly touched with silver, accompanied by two boys. The boys' features made it abundantly clear they were her sons, yet there was something else about them as well. Something familiar, although Stainer couldn't put his finger on exactly what it was. The older of them looked to be somewhere in his teens, the younger perhaps 10 or 11. That was the first thing that went through Stainer's mind, but another thought followed it almost instantly. They were terrified, especially the boys, he thought. Their mother hid it better, but despite the strength of character in her face, there was fear in her eyes as well, and something else, something dark and passionate and ribbed with iron pride.
Your Eminence, Usher said quietly, may I present Madame Adderai Dinis?
Stainer's eyes went wide, and he surged to his feet without even realizing he had. He was around the desk and across the office to her in three quick strides, and he held out his hand.
Madame Dinis!
He heard the astonishment in his own voice, and it was as if he were listening to someone else.
This is most unexpected.
Her hand trembled slightly in his fingers, and he looked into those eyes, saw the exhaustion and the desperation behind the fear and the pride. How she could possibly have managed to travel all the way from the Temple Lands to Carus without being identified and taken by the Inquisition was more than he could begin to imagine.
Truly,
he told her, squeezing her trembling hand gently as his own astonishment began to ebb at least a little.
God works his mysteries in ways beyond human understanding or prediction. You and your family have been in my prayers ever since Bishop Executor Gerald and Father Pater received your husband's final letter, yet I never imagined that he would be gracious enough to allow you to reach Caris.
Letter, Your Eminence? She repeated. He heard the fatigue and tension in the depths of her voice, but her eyebrows rose and her eyes sharpened.
Erech got letters out?
Indeed, indeed he did, Stainer said.
He extended his other hand, gripping both of hers, and shook his head.
At least one of them. I have no idea how he managed it, and I will not pretend Archbishop Erech and I often failed to see eye to eye. Obviously, what's transpired here in Caris since his last visit is proof enough of that. But from the final letter he somehow arranged to have delivered to the Bishop Executor and Father Pater, I can tell you that at the end of his life, your husband remembered the true touch of God.
He shook his head again.
We've had no confirmation of his death here in Caris, but from the letter he sent, and from your own arrival here, I must assume the end he foresaw has indeed overtaken him.
Oh, yes.
She half whispered, chin trembling at last, tears sparkling in her eyes.
Oh, yes, Your Eminence, it has. And you're right. I believe he did feel God's finger despite all that it cost him.